my students in the Yeshivat Hezder of Kiryat Gat are going into the army in 2 weeks. They're going to be part of the Gius, part of their draft, and they're going to serve in the Israeli army for the next year or two. So as so doing, this past Motzei Shabbat, I invited the students to my home, and we had a Malava Malka. We sang, we danced, and we also discussed and spoke about the fears that they have as they approach this momentous day in their lives. And in this discussion, I have to tell you, I began to discuss with them, as was unavoidable, what had transpired 2 weeks ago when a gunman, a terrorist, gunned down innocent yeshiva students in the heart of Yeshivat Merkaz Harav, the yeshiva that represents the entire philosophy, the hashkafah, the outlook and perspective of what religious Zionism is today. And in so discussing, we explain to each other the classic response to such terrorism, and that is, classically and understandably so, that we as Jewish people respond to terrorism by continuing to live. We express ourselves by saying we are not deterred from why we exist, yet we have conviction and we continue to live our lives based on Torah, Yirat Shamayim, Mitzvot, and that is the greatest statement that we can make in the face of such controversy. However, I have to tell you that I told the students, and I'm always a big believer in trying to be as honest or completely honest with my students as possible, and I expressed to them that while I understand this need to express our ability and our philosophy in continuing to thrive, continuing to build, continuing to live, that nonetheless, I said, it sort of doesn't sit well with me. I said that I have to derive some conviction, some chizuk, if you may, some strength that will explain to me where our resilience as a Jewish people comes from in the face of so much controversy, in the face of such difficult situations that we face here in Eretz Yisrael. And I said to them, and while I understand, the response is classically the way we live. That's what's important. I said, nonetheless, it's still so difficult for me to subscribe to. One of my students said to me, well, Rebbe, that's exactly what we call emunah. That's what we call faith. Belief, a complete embracement of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents. And nonetheless, I still felt after he said this, and it's very true what he's saying, I still felt that I needed more. I needed to internalize it. I needed to allow it to sit and to simmer in my system so that once again I would completely subscribe to and understand and appreciate why and how we continue to live in Eretz Yisrael and to thrive as a Jewish people. And I believe to a certain extent, and perhaps it's not by chance, which I'll mention a little later, that this is exactly what the Chag, the holiday of Purim, provides. And to a large extent, Purim provided me with my own personal answer and introspect, and a certain amount of strength in order to continue. Because one wonders, in the heart of such challenges, how exactly do we, or are we, or can we be expected to fulfill the mitzvot hayom of Purim, simcha, sason v'ikar, to be happy, to rejoice in jubilance, public display of happiness, of simcha. How are we expected to do so in the face of the current events? And yet not only are we expected to do so on Purim, but it's the mitzvah tayom, the itzumo shoyom, the essence of the day, revolves around the experience and the emotion of simcha. To embrace our mission and to appreciate how we continue in this simcha is to understand those who made it their mission to destroy ours. The world of Amalek pursues Bnei Israel for no apparent reason. What we have to understand is that Amalek and Haman, the descendant of Amalek, had no reason to begin with Am Yisrael. Amalek is there when Bnei Yisrael come out of Mitzrayim. Bnei Yisrael never met them. Bnei Yisrael never went through their land. Bnei Yisrael never engaged in any discourse with them. Nonetheless, Amalek arrives. Why? Amalek do not pursue any apparent reason. They pursue a chayim lelo kol mechuyavut. Their essence is to pursue a life without reason. They desire exactly a world with no meaning. They desire a world with no purpose. Ish hayashar be'inav ya'aseh. Every man for himself. No plans. No rhyme. No reason. Just to destroy, if that's what it takes to uproot any meaning for existence. And therefore, let us appreciate, Rabotai, that Bnei Yisrael are the greatest threat to what Amalek does not represent. Because Am Yisrael is just the opposite. Am Yisrael says that everything that we do is with calculated precision. Am Yisrael says that there is a method to every one of our motives. And interestingly enough, in the Megillah, when we describe our great heroes of Mordechai and Esther, when they engage in dialogue with one another, they are always talking about Machar Eilech Lechatzar Beit HaMelech, tomorrow I will go to Achashverosh, says Esther. Machar V'tzumu Alay V'atochlu V'atishnu Lechnos Et Kol HaYehudim, says Esther to Mordechai, go and gather Am Yisrael. If you look at this expression of Machar, tomorrow, why is that? Well, that is precisely what describes the essence of the Jewish people. To the Jewish people, there is a tomorrow. The Jewish people always plan ahead. Chacham einav berosho. There is a design to our program. We believe in a tomorrow. We believe in the reactions. We believe that there is a certain amount of accountability to what we do. So much so that whatever happens today will shed light and will affect what happens tomorrow. And therefore Mordechai and Esther are constantly referring to the concept of machar. We plan for what will be later. This philosophy represents the exact opposite, the antithesis of what Amalek and what Haman represents. And Amalek and Haman represent the antithesis of what Am Yisrael do. And therefore it's interesting. Why is this particular holiday is called Purim? Would it not have been more appropriate to call this holiday Chag Am Yisrael, Hatzalat Yisrael, perhaps Chag Mordechai V'Esther, Chag Kenes Yehudim, the gathering of the Jewish people, the saving of the Jewish people? No, we call this holiday Purim. Why? Says the Megillah, Al Shem HaPur Hu HaGoral Lehumam Uleubdam. We commemorate the lottery of Haman. That's what we're commemorating on this day of Purim. But that is precisely what we are commemorating. Because Pur, the lottery, represents who Haman and Amalek are. Haman takes a gamble. Haman looks at everything in this world as bimikre, which means in Hebrew, by chance. In fact, it's interesting. The Jewish people were always discouraged from being involved in gambling. in lotteries. Chazal say in the Gemara Sanhedrin, it lists people who are posel la'edut, who cannot serve as witnesses in a Jewish court of law. And one of them is a mesachek bekuvia, someone who plays with dice. The Rambam does not understand this as a specific action, but rather as a philosophical approach or lack of it thereof to a world. Says the Rambam, a mesachek bekuvia is posel la'edus, eino mitasek biyishuv ha'olam. He is not involved, he is not immersed in bettering and benefiting and settling this world. When a person rolls the dice, he has an expression that I am willing to take a chance. In Judaism, we don't take chances. In Judaism, there is no such thing as bemikre, by chance, because if you take the word bemikre and you turn it around, the same letters, mem, kuf, resh, hey, when you change them around, become rak me Hashem, only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only from divine influence. Everything that we do, everything that transpires, everything that we're involved in this world, we believe is directly attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, if you may, interference in what happens in our world as well. Say Chazal, ein adam nokef etzba'o milemata, ela im kein machrizin alav milemala. A person does not even stick his hand down below, in this world, in the earth, unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to announce it such from above in the heavens. There is direct revelation. There is a direct relationship between what we do in this world and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu above. Rav Soloveitchik therefore classified the Amalek as not necessarily certain in our time as a specific nation. But Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that Amalek could be classified as any nation that desires to destroy the Jewish people. God knows, unfortunately, there is not one generation that we have not been confronted with such enemies. Germans, the pogroms, Spanish Inquisition. Today that really translates into the Arab world. And there are those who might say that the Arab world has a purpose. They have a religious motto. But let us recognize that when terrorism occurs, and when people, and by and large, celebrate in the streets after innocent victims are gunned down in cold blood, young children who never did anything, who never expressed in any form or fashion anything that was anti any establishment, and all of a sudden they lose their lives innocently. Or when the streets are filled in Gaza with Arab citizens celebrating, firing guns in the air and handing out candies to their youth, celebrating the death of the innocent. Well, that is not a world that is filled with purpose. That is not a world that lives by religious motto or example. It is a world of hefker. It's a world of mikre. Anything goes. Anything can happen as long as it is destructive. As long as it does in our Jewish neighbors who live with purpose, who have a kivun, who have direction. And essentially, if you think about it, that really is the definition of what terrorism is. Jewish people thwart and resist these efforts by infusing meaning into our existence. Because let us understand, Rabotai, that when we infuse this meaning, it frustrates Amalek. An army that is interested in protecting its civilians. An army that does not hide behind innocent people. An army that warns its enemy that some of its innocent civilians might be injured or harmed if they don't let them go. If they don't release them. That's an army that represents that we're fighting for the sake of a God above. That we're fighting in the interest of furthering human civilization. that were interested in a peaceful existence, not to have to engage in warfare. And of course, a people, a nation, an am, who subscribe to a book, to a Torah, to an ideology, to an idealism that subscribes to the greater and the mighty one above. That is how we destroy the Amalek within. One need not look further. In the classic example of what happened after the shooting in Merkaz Arav, when one of the Arab members of the Knesset goes to the West Bank and gives them a class, a shir lahavdil, and talks to them about who Rav Kook was, what he represented, what Merkaz Arav represents, we respond by also giving classes of Rav Kook, but not on the insistence of destruction, but on the insistence of what Rav Kook would have wanted us to understand. Achdut Yisrael, the motto of unifying, the motto of being one, under the banner of moral ethics and under the banner of dinim, halakha, and mitzvot that explicitly reveal themselves in the Torah itself. And this perhaps, my friends, can help us understand also the mitzvah of Purim, the strange mitzvah, chayavinish lebesumei bepuraya. A person is obligated, as we understand it in its simple context, to imbibe in wine on Purim. According to Rav Aviner, based on Rav Kook, this imbibing is certainly not involving and immersing ourselves in the physical pleasures of what the physical world has to offer us. This libesume, it doesn't say lihishtaker, it doesn't say chayavinish lihishtaker, that we're chayav obligated to get drunk on Purim. Chayavinish libesume bepuraya. Libesume comes from the word bosem. Bet vav shin mem. Bosem means spices. Chazal say in the Gemara Shabbat of Pechet Amal Aleph that when the Torah was given at Har Sinai, the world was filled with besamim, the fragrance, the beauty, was able to appreciate that wondrous fragrance of spices. So too, on Purim, we reveal the besamim, the bosem. We take our inners and we expose them by demonstrating that we are people who have essence, that we are people of substance, that we have what to contribute to the world, both in our communities and in the world at large, to be the light unto all nations. This besamim is also spelt the same way as bashamayim. Besamim, bashamayim. We use that which we have in this world, the physical indulgence, for the sake of arriving at greater awareness, bashamayim, of what the heavens would have us understand and would have us fulfill. And therefore I said to my students that we are drafted not only as an army, but we are drafted really to remind the world of who we are, of what we represent. And when we live al kiddush Hashem, and when we carry those banners of civility, of morality, and we embrace what the Torah and the mitzvot represent, we fill the world with besamim, then indeed we are able to look upon all the challenges, all the hardships that face us, with a certain amount of simcha, with the strength and resilience not only of an army, but an army of Hashem, an army of true simcha. And all of us will be zoche mirtz Hashem as a result of our efforts to do so, to truly appreciate and witness the day. La'yehudim haytaora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar kein tiyeh lanu. Purim sameach lanu l'chol Yisrael.